Welcome to the wrestling podcast that's not just for wrestling fans. This is Smark and Friends on the Two Finger Guns Club Network. My name is Zach and I'll be your host. On today's show, I'm heading to Western Canada to speak with one of the rising stars of the wrestling scene. Hailing from Red Deer, Alberta, and working regularly since 2015 with an exceptional 2019, I'm speaking with wrestling's one and only man of two minds, Jack Pride joins me on today's show. So I mentioned Jack had a big 2019, but I'll let you take a guess about what happened to his 2020. He had a great start to the year, and then COVID happened. It took the workload out from under him, along with hundreds of other people in his profession, as well as thousands of Canadians. Normally, when I speak to a wrestler on this show, you know that I like to pick their brains about their outside projects and things they do outside of the squared circle. But in this case, I wanted to speak to a wrestler on the independent level and get a portrait of what COVID did to their line of work. And I'd like to thank Jack for being open to approaching this episode of the podcast from that angle. We're talking about COVID. We're also going to talk about his background in pro wrestling, wrestlers that he grew up watching, a special novelty match he did back in 2019, and a whole lot more shortly after these messages.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, and everything in between, and welcome to the commercial. This is your friendly neighborhood Rocket Man, exhorting you, if you have the time and you find yourself in need of something to do, to please come back and visit me for Rocket Man Explorer Season 1. Or, if you just have a modicum of time, you can always go and follow us at Instagram and Twitter at RocketManTFGC. Just stay tuned for more Rocketman Explores action, because I will be back. Now back to your regularly scheduled and much better programming of Smark and Friends. Enjoy!
And we're back. Joining me over Zoom, I'm welcoming Jack Pride to the show. Jack, how you doing?
Not too bad, man. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How's life treating you in the COVID world right now?
Well, I'd be lying if I wasn't saying that it's been better. Haven't been able to wrestle all that much lately, and that's kind of upsetting, but
naturally
make and do.
So I understand with Jack Pride, I may be speaking with one of two people right now. So I'm curious, who does the podcast appearances? Is it Jack or is it Pride?
When it comes to podcasts, they usually get out of each other's way, but Pride's generally the brains of the outfit. So he's usually the one doing stuff.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, Whoever is joining me today, I thank you both for being here. So in terms of like your background in wrestling, let's talk a little bit about how you like got into the scene and everything. Like, where were you trained? How did you get your foot in the door in this in the world of pro wrestling?
When I broke in, there weren't many places to train around here. Lance still didn't even have his school set up.
Okay.
So a lot of the training I got was just before shows with the guys that I was working with, kind of in our area. A lot of the guys that were on our roster when I broke in were kind of outcasts of sorts from other places. Like, nobody would give any of us a chance. So we kind of just came together and started our own operation. It was called the Canadian Wrestling Coalition. And it was a lot of, just like the guys that had actual like more hands-on training had gone to a school, they kind of passed it down, and then that was based out of Red Deer at the time, so some of us would also on the odd weekend drive up to Edmonton to train at with MPW, which is one of the places locally here. So it was kind of just like the occasional weekend training session, but mostly just at that time, quite honestly, it was a bit of the blind leading the blind.
Okay.
So it was kind of like, nobody would really give any of us a shot. So we did our own thing and people started taking notice and doors opened for us to get in and get actual, a lot more hands-on training after the fact. But yeah, out of the gates, it was kind of just touch and go. Like, my early matches were not good.
Well, hey, man, you had the self-start, the chip on your shoulder to get going, and that says a lot. In terms of like getting trained for wrestling, was it something you had wanted to do for a long time before you actually stepped into that world? Or like, were you a fan growing up and whatnot?
Oh, yeah. Been watching wrestling pretty much since day one. Started watching wrestling with my grandma. I did some of my earliest memories. So like 3-4 years old, whenever the brain kicks in, I've been watching wrestling for the better part of since then. Oddly enough, I took a break, we'll call it. My mom didn't like wrestling, so she stopped me from watching it. So I actually missed the entire Attitude Era.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I watched kind of up until the early days of the Attitude Era, missed all of that, and kind of came back in just after WrestleMania 18.
Okay.
And then kind of picked up from then, which was right around when I was graduating high school. But quite honestly, I never even went to my first indie show until I was wrestling, like actually wrestling. So I didn't even know how to get my foot in the door. The internet wasn't really what it is these days. I honestly didn't have the foggiest first idea where to go. And it was just through happenstance that I bumped into a guy that I had wrestled with in high school, just on the high school amateur team. And okay. He had gotten his foot in the door and he invited me to my first indie show. Someone got hurt and then they brought me on and like crash coursed me enough to get a terrible not even passable match out. But yeah, that was kind of just like, it was all just happenstance, like right place, right time to get enough of a foot in the door that I could kick some doors down later. But yeah, it was very, very patchwork. My early days of wrestling, there was no like, went to Lance, got booked, hit the ground running. I really struggled to find my way through the early days.
Sure. I didn't realize that you had done amateur wrestling through high school. Walk me through this first match. Was it something more like an amateur match, so to speak?
Yeah, if they would have been like, hey, go out there and have an amateur style match, that would have been a way better idea at the time. instead, that particular match I was thrown into, it ended up being a triple threat match with two other guys. Both of them were green as grass. Like I said, that was my first match ever. And I think it went 5 minutes all total before the vet in the match, which he wasn't even a vet at the time. He was just like, we got to stop this. This is bad. Let's go home.
When I'm researching my guests, I usually visit cagematch.net, which is only so reliable because it's very user generated and fans submit, you know, what they've seen and keeps tally of things. When exactly did you debut?
That's up in the air. Cause that first match that I'm talking about, probably would have been 2009, 2010 ish.
Sure.
I didn't even like Jack Pride wasn't even a thing at that point in time yet.
Okay.
I think I got booked on a few of the internet sites as Skinny White Boy. and it wasn't until probably 5 or 6 years after that. So probably 2015-ish, that opportunity kind of presented itself. And that's actually when we kind of got CWC started. It was closer to like 2015. I think that's when it was. 2015 is kind of when like CWC kind of got started, because a bunch of us had gotten just a taste a bunch of years earlier. And that was kind of when no one would touch us. So we came together and made our own deal.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious because like when I visit Cage Match, there's like a big gap of several years between like some of your first matches and then nothing else. So I imagine that's, as you say, how CWC came together. CWC, like, again, it's more of like a collaboration. How's that structured?
Well, unfortunately, CWC has come and gone already. But it was honestly, it was kind of just everyone played a part. We all wanted to wrestle. One of the guys that went in on it, he had all the capital, so he put up from the start. We got a ring made. Everyone else kind of came together to promote the hell out of it. We were doing our best to like do all the things unfortunately at the time, get training, but we were promoting, pushing everything, trying to be in the ring training ourselves as much as possible, like doing all the other things. And it was kind of one of those, everyone had a particular skill that lent to the overall product actually coming together and working.
Okay. And like after CWC, I imagine that kind of transitioned into like getting gigs with PWA and PPW kind of What's going on there?
CWC, that was kind of, like I said, no one would give us the shot. We made our own shot. And that's when people finally started to be like, oh, these guys aren't just backyarders. Maybe they actually, there's something there. And so from CWC, the door opened for me to go to RCW, which then working the two of those at the same time, a couple years down the road, that opened the door for me to go join PWA, which is where I'm at right now.
Right on. Cool. How often were you working before COVID really just kind of shook everything down?
Probably when I jumped from RCW to PWA, my schedule lightened just a bit, just because RCW was running bi-monthly at that point in time, and PWA really only does one show per big city in a month. So I was wrestling anywhere from the year before COVID, anywhere from 4 to 6 times a month, usually. So yeah, it was a steep drop off. Like, all this time off that I've gotten because of COVID is the longest layoff I've gotten from wrestling since I really got going.
Mm. Okay. Speaking of last year, I did want to pick your brain about one particular career highlight of yours. I'm talking about Clandestine Society's Imitation Game. This is when I first heard of you. You were involved in a match where you emulated significant wrestling stars. You yourself imitated, you wrestled as Chris Jericho against Davey Doyle's Dave Batista. This is the first time, as I was saying, the first time I've seen your work. I'm very curious about that match. Like, how did that come together? And like, did you try to like emulate one of their previous encounters, or how was that put together?
How the match initially came together to even be a thing, I can't even remember specifically. I think it started out, Davey O'Doyle backstage, he's always known for, he's a huge Batista fan. So he's got his entrance down pat, and him and I were joking about, we hadn't had the chance to work with each other yet. So we were kind of, let's try and figure out something to do in Clandestine. And I was like, oh yeah, man, you can come down, you can do Batista's entrance, get the machine gun and everything. And then we kind of joked that, oh yeah, you could do Jericho because he's your guy. And it kind of just snowballed from there. Originally it was going to be, we do the entrances, but then we wrestle as ourselves. But then once things kind of got going and people started getting interest, we kind of turned into, we have to go completely all the way. I have to be as Chris Jericho as I possibly can. He's got to be as Batista as he can be. And then, so once we started to get planning the match together, we took elements from, they've got a few encounters that they've had over the years. So we took a few elements of stuff they've directly used, but a lot of it was just an attempt to get, you know, the Chris Jericho and the Dave Batista greatest hits into there. Like, at one point he gets me in the Batista bite, which only got seen at like 6 matches on WWE TV. But all those little stuff, we tried to fit as much of that in to do as much of a service to these guys, because at least I can't speak for Davey, but my head was at the point where, what if Jericho watches this? Like, Jericho is my guy, the be-all, end-all in wrestling for me. So if he puts eyes on this, I don't want him to be, who's this, you know, this pasty white kid pretending to be me? I want him to be like, oh, damn, like, that's pretty spot on. Like, that's what I had in my head the whole time.
Right on. What's your favorite Jericho match? It can change every day of the week, as, you know, whenever you hear that question. But, you know, right now, what's top of your mind there?
WrestleMania 19, HBK Y2J. Right. That is, it's hands down, it's my favorite match all time, because the build up to the match, the way he played, like, oh, you're going to be the next HBK. You're not the first Chris Jericho. That, like, the build to it was so good. The payoff was so good. And even just like after Shawn wins the match, they look like they hug it out. And then Jericho turns and low blows him. Ah, so good. And I actually, that finish, me and a guy wrestled with, Dylan Stone, we actually took that finish. Him and I had a huge blow off match. It's this 30-minute Matt classic, like, so good. We had the fans in it and everything. And I was a heel at the time. I was basically Jericho, and he was basically HBK. Fans are behind him. hug it out at the end. Oh, Jack Pryde's making his big face turn, and then turn and low blow, and felt so good. Loved it.
Right on. Quick apology before I carry on. I want to apologize to Davey O'Doyle in case you happen to be listening. Didn't mean to mispronounce your name there. So quick apology there. Sorry about that. So COVID hits hard and quick at the beginning of the year. Did you have any like bookings that were like scheduled that just got like flat dropped?
I was actually, luckily I was at a pretty decent point where I had worked all except for my local responsibilities. I had worked all my out of towns. Okay. So I didn't actually have anything set just yet.
Okay.
I guess technically I didn't lose any bookings because of it. Obviously everyone shut down, so nobody was getting bookings.
Yeah, but you didn't lose anything that had already been scheduled.
Yeah, no, there wasn't any. The only thing that I lost that was scheduled was the very next show locally was the PWA anniversary show. And that was my first, the way to do shows here, we've got, PWA has their normal venue. And then for their bigger shows, two or three shows a year, they go to the Nate Gym that holds thousands of people as compared to hundreds. So the anniversary show was going to be my first crack in front of a potential 1,000-plus fans.
Wow.
So I was Damn. Very upset by that.
Naturally, yeah, man. That sucks. I'm so sorry to hear.
Yeah. It is what it is. I mean, hopefully we'll come out the other end and things will be even more exciting.
Sure, sure. You know, things are starting to like pick up again across the country. But when like everything was like in full lockdown, you know, no gym, no like outdoor time, you know, where everything was closed. Were you able to hone your craft as a wrestler in any way?
To a certain extent, yes. I took like, obviously no one was really going out doing much of anything. Like you said, it was, everyone was locked down. So basically encouraged lounging around the house, for lack of a better way to put it. Really gave me an opportunity to go back and watch a lot of old tape, old promos. Like, promos is one thing I really love doing, and I'm really trying to take my promo game to the next level. So it gave me a lot of extra time to watch stuff. Even as far as putting matches together, watching the psychology of, because like nowadays we get that really super fast pace. Everyone's doing super kicks, destroyers. How many times can we flip and spin? And just me personally, I have a desire to go against the mold, go against the grain. So I've actually, during the lockdown and even still now, I'm watching a lot more wrestling where it's that slower pace. We're going to drag things down. You know, you're a high flyer where you're not getting near the ropes kind of thing. Just as a counter to basically how everyone's doing things these days, because with the internet being what it is, everyone has the opportunity to be seen. And if you're seen doing the same thing as everybody else, I mean, you could be super impressive at it, but 10 destroyers are still 10 destroyers, as opposed to if you got one guy that's working the psychology edge, which, it's not that it's been abandoned, but to a certain extent it has been abandoned.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment entirely. It's interesting that the pendulum kind of swings back. I mean, even before COVID really took everything down, you know, NWA was starting to pick up steam again. And that was like exactly what you're talking about. Very more traditional professional wrestling with psychology and whatnot. But wrestling, like, you know, it is starting to trickle back in small doses. I mean, certainly AEW, WWE, they're doing their own thing. But I understand, like, out your way, MPW, they just did their big return back in August. You know, it's starting to come back. And have any of the promotions that you were frequenting, like, started to reach out? Have you been corresponding with them, like, about when things are going to start up again?
Nothing specifically that I've heard, like, nothing on the official side. Kind of the rumor that's been floating around for even the last 4 or 6 weeks, as far as PWA goes, I've heard... kind of in the new year.
Yeah.
And then, because RCW has been running around here, certain levels of success. It's a different, like, the way AEW and WWE can run things is obviously a lot different. There's a lot of rules that we have to follow that they might not to the same extent. So even the shows that do run here, I've watched them, and it's nothing against anybody involved with them, but, like, the crowd seem hesitant because they're all masked up, and there's hesitation to interact with the crowd because you're not allowed, like, even as performers, they're not allowed to get within certain distances of the crowd. And so there's a level of hesitation with all the extra restrictions that it, quite honestly, like, I love wrestling, but I'm not entirely sad that I haven't been wrestling in these conditions, because what works for WWE and AEW in front of their, you know, minimal crowd audience, I don't think necessarily completely works on an indie level, unless it's done absolutely right. So I'm almost okay waiting a little bit longer till some of the restrictions can be alleviated again, and we can have maybe a little more crowd, or maybe the crowd that is there doesn't need to have their masks on, something to, yeah, just to kind of encourage more interaction, because yeah, the way things are now, it just seems almost like counterproductive. Like, hey, here's all these restrictions that kind of hold you back from doing what you're there to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Say COVID just disappears overnight. Say tomorrow, like, all the restrictions are gone, we're ready to open things up. You have a clean slate of choice for what you want to do when wrestling gets back. What's the first thing you want to do?
Ooh.
Put you on the spot here.
Yeah. We're talking, like, storyline-wise, how I'd like to hit things when PWA comes back. Things that started, like, the trajectory Jack Pride was on, there's a burgeoning friendship with Reed Matthews, the Thickness. He's another great worker out here. I was getting really excited about where that was headed, just in terms of an angle, the matches, because we were off and on tagging together and there was some turmoil. Are we friends? Are we foes? That's really the first, like, I was really biting into that story. I want to see where that goes. I want the fans to see where that goes, because the plans that we had in place, the potential for everything, like, are we going to be a team? Are we not going to be a team? Like, there's so many angles. I want to see where that goes, not only for my own selfish ways, but for the fans, but even just opportunities. Like, Thickness is a hell of a worker out here, and just to be in a program with him, coming into PWA, he was on my list of guys I want to do a program with. So now that I'm in this, I want to see it come to fruition.
Right on. So on top of wrestling, like, you are also a podcaster with the Two Baked Hams podcast, a very off-the-cuff general interest podcast. You cover, like, a very unique variety of conversation. Please tell us a little bit about Two Baked Hams.
That originally started... the idea for Two Baked Hams came about 4 years ago. Me and Jonah, who I podcast with for it, we were going to the gym together all the time, and we'd have these lengthy conversations in the gym. And one day I was like, you know, we should do a podcast, because some of this material would have us laughing, like, in the gym, to the point where people would be staring at us. I was like, well, if they're staring at why we're laughing, why not try and move this forward and put it out into the world? So yeah, why not just record them? And sometimes we'll have guests, sometimes we have particular themes in mind, but a lot of the time it's literally just plug in and let's go. And whatever comes out, comes out. It's almost like a therapy of sorts. The things that need to get talked about will get talked about.
Right on. All right, Jack, thank you so much for joining me on the Smark and Friends podcast. As a fan, I'm hoping that wrestling gets back. I can only imagine what, as a worker, you're feeling like. So, again, thanks for taking the time to talk with me. Before I let you go, please let us know where the audience can follow you on social media.
Yeah, if you want to follow Jack Pride, Instagram, it is at Mind of Jack Pride. Twitter is at Mind of Jack Pride. And on Facebook, it's not... like a fan page, it's the actual Jack Pride account. Just search Jack Pride and I'll come up.
Right on. Okay, dude, thanks again. This was great.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on, man.
You know, one of my favorite parts of doing this format of the podcast is researching wrestling scenes that I'm not entirely familiar with. I mean, I love to just dive into content with no rhyme or reason, but having a guest or a brand to research lets me kind of, like, discover some really cool wrestling that I may not have otherwise come across. And I encourage you to just hop onto YouTube right now, go look up some of Jack Pride's matches. He puts on a hell of a match, and on top of that, he's offering a very unique character to invest in, so check that out. Thanks to Jack for talking with me on today's podcast, and a special thanks to my good buddy out west, Spencer Love, for putting me in contact with Jack. and Pride as well, I suppose. Until you can start supporting Jack Pride in the ring once again, you should check out his podcast that he co-hosts, the Two Big Tams. We talked a little bit about that. Once again, another project I just kind of came across in my research for an episode, and I got more than a few laughs in return, so please check them out. Good show. If you like what you're hearing, head on over to ratethispodcast.com/smarkinfriends. Leave us a kind rating, kind review. Goes a long way, trust me. Follow us on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Smark and Friends, we're very easy to find. And thank you for listening. We're going to be back next week. Till then, friends.
This has been a Two Finger Guns Club production. Pew, pew.